Hello world, welcome to the CNET stage once again, coming to you live from CES 2019 in Las Vegas. We're over in Tech West at the Sands Expo Center, and we're going to run through day three of the world's largest tech show. We're doing that with a special extended edition of our 359 News podcast. I'm here with Roger Chang and Ben Fox Rubin. Hey guys.
Hey.
This is near the end. All right, so let's start off with fresh news from
yes.
Samsung's Unpacked announcement.
Just 2 hours ago, Samsung sent out the invites for a event next month and obviously teased the Galaxy S10, the next flagship phone. But really what I'm more interested in is seeing this foldable phone. We've been talking about foldable phones for a while now. Samsung gave us a really obscured look at that phone at the Samsung Developer Conference a few months back. They dimmed the lights. They made it really hard to see
like,
it.
Here it is.
Don't look at it. It's right there. There it is. You can barely see it. It's in the dark. It's in the shadows.
In the shadow.
So how much more are we expecting to see of it at the Unpacked event?
So we're not expecting it to launch at the event, but I think we're going to get a clearer view, at least with lights on, hopefully. But I think they want to keep the focus on the Galaxy S10 and the S10 Plus, that lineup first. I know they don't want to cannibalize their sales of their core phone, but they want to offer, I'm guessing they want to offer a little bit of a teaser on this Infinity Flex display device. Mm-hmm.
Does Samsung usually make this type of announcement at CES? I mean, like, CES isn't really known as a phones show, so this seems a little, I don't know, off kilter to me.
There's been a couple phone, or a little bit more phone news than usual this
year.
Yes,
but I would say Samsung has had a relatively quiet show, and what better way to steal all the CES attention than to tease the next big phone? Apple did this a couple years back, several years back. They had teased an invite for an Apple event the last day of CES, and it was for the Verizon iPhone. And all of a sudden, it just sucked the air out of the show.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we're talking about it, so I guess it worked.
I mean, Samsung also had some other news, too, right? I mean, they've been talking about all sorts of things from the beginning, so, like, robots and whatnot.
Yeah, they had, like, the four different robots that they were talking about where you could kind of bring them into your house. There's, the healthcare robot and the air purifier robot, but that kind of got me.
We're seeing it right now. Here's a picture from their announcement.
That kind of had me thinking about, like, okay, with Samsung versus all those other guys, like, who do you guys think actually, you know, quote-unquote, won the show? Who really won the day among all these, you know, major tech players?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I mean, I would say, I know Google had a huge presence at the show. Amazon Alexa was everywhere. I'm going to put in a vote for Apple. They've kind of had a rough bit of a stretch. Apple's not even here, but I felt like they stole the show during Media Day, the biggest day for CES, basically through their partners, right? Samsung announcing partnership with their TVs and iTunes integration with AirPlay and LG and Vizio. They had a number of these companies talk about Apple at the show without
Apple
being there.
And Apple had that really big ad that was on the building.
Not to mention
that's
the ad.
That's a bit of a dark horse candidate.
There's
what do
the
you
ad
think,
right
Bridget?
Now. Like, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. And they started the buzz before the show even started because people were flying in and seeing the ad. Yeah. But I don't really agree that they won the show.
All right, so
Roger.
Who do you think won?
It's got to be Google. I mean, what other company makes a ride for you to go on? You win automatically. And, okay, on the tech side of things, they helped. I mean, here's a video of the ride. You know, it's like a Disney Small World experience with a song
fair,
and everything and animatronics.
No one outside of CES will be able to get into that ride.
I don't know.
You don't know. Maybe
don't
in
know
the
that.
Future it will go somewhere. They're not going to waste that. That is brilliant engineering. But I will say this. Aside from the adorableness of it and how quaint it is, they were also talking about real tech, too,
right,
with being able to translate conversations with their new service, with a Google Assistant. I mean, having a little tablet on your desk and talking to someone in a different language and getting real-time translation, that's useful. But that is the future world we want to live in. So I say Google won.
Okay, I'm going to go with Amazon because if all you need to do is build a bigger booth and make a ride on it to win the show, then okay, way to go, Google. You can win the crown. But I think it's taken for granted a little bit that Amazon has been at this show for like 3 years running. They had dozens and dozens of partner announcements. I'm going to run through a couple right now related to the KitchenAid smart oven that works with Alexa, Lenovo 2-in-1 tablet, infotainment system with Ford, Vuzix smart glasses. I mean, like, they were all over the show to the point that, like, maybe you didn't even realize. It's kind of like you're swimming in
constant background noise.
You're swimming
Amazon,
in Alexa
Amazon, 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 Amazon,
yeah.
Amazon. Yeah.
Does Amazon need to make a ride? Well, hell, I sure hope they do next year. But I would probably give them the crown for this one. But Google definitely did a very strong running, I would say.
Well, all right. This is the last of, I guess we're on day three. And so I think when you start to wind down toward the end, you get to a point where some of the more quirky things start coming out of the woodwork. Out of yesterday, what were some of your favorite things?
I'll start because I actually have two.
Okay.
So I was walking through the Las Vegas Convention Center yesterday, and I would use the word awe-inspiring to describe the LG, the waterfall displays. There was a persistent crowd there.
Yeah.
That were just like constantly watching this thing and absolutely stunned by it.
If you see in the video we're showing, this is like just blanketing a whole entire hallway.
Yeah, and it doesn't really do it justice. It is really far more impressive in person. I saw it, and the obnoxious thing is, because it's right at the entrance to the convention center, there's a constant crowd there. It's
yes.
hard to get into the actual hall.
Well, it's like a tunnel you walk through.
Yeah. But it is pretty amazing to see. Even though
they had
no
a canyon last year, and it was a similar like kind of like awe experience to be like, my God, televisions are so amazing.
But I would say that was amazing, except it's not something anyone would ever buy.
All right, you had it. You had a second
yeah.
one.
Yeah, really, really quickly, I would say also there's a $30,000 Lamborghini massage chair.
Oh, yeah, something everyone would buy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Again, with
thinking
with,
about the average
with
Joe, I love it. I love it.
What about you guys?
A massage chair. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, Roger, you go.
Well, this is far simpler. The Hypnose sleep mask. Snoring is clearly a problem in our household. We're constantly tired, and the snoring is pretty bad. This thing is $169. It's like a combination sleep mask with almost like a snorkel type thing. You see the video now. It's got an accelerator. It actually vibrates the mask to kind of get you to move in different positions.
Roger, does that look comfortable to you? just look at Vanessa. She's got it over her nose.
If you know how tired I get, I will sleep through anything at this point.
Yeah,
but if you snore, it kind of squeezes you.
It does squeeze you.
Do you want to be nose squeezed at night?
I'll get used to it if it means my wife can sleep in silence. That's the kind of sacrifice I'm willing to make.
All right. I'm going to go with something that isn't necessarily weird or quirky, but actually could change lives. Health tech. There's something I checked out yesterday. It is an ultrasound machine that is the first handheld whole body ultrasound scanning device that you just hook up to an iPhone. For those who don't know, because usually we're having video of it now for like being able to check it out on the show floor. So for those who don't know, because usually only see my face, I'm pregnant right now. So ultrasounds, I know a thing or two about ultrasounds. And when I checked this out, this was amazing because normally these are huge machines, and what they're trying to do is make it more accessible to anyone to just be able to hook it up to a phone, hook it up to a tablet, get a real-time call with a doctor, which is what he's doing now. He's scanning his heart, and he's connected with real-time with the doctor who's saying go left, go right. The doctor's getting the feed. They're working on software where, let's say you're in a remote area where someone's not trained to do an ultrasound, the machine could be like, bing, 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 you got it right. Now let's send that file to someone who's an expert. If you have an at-risk pregnancy and you can't get to the doctor because you live far away, if you're in a place where you can't afford all this stuff, you don't need attachments. This can do every part of the body and normally needs specialized equipment. $2,000 right now. FDA cleared for a nurse or doctor to use, but that's what's so brilliant about the software, having that doctor be able to talk to you, working on that software so that if someone's not an expert, they can at least send that file to someone who is. So for me, this is a big game changer in technology. They just started launching it in October.
Wow, your favorite thing is pretty impressive.
Yeah, your thing is way more serious than our thing.
I don't get to often see ultrasounds of people's hearts like at CES. Now, I was like, hey, can you like take an ultrasound of like my baby? And they were like, you know what? We're not going to expose you. We're not your doctor for an unnecessary reason. And I'm like, I get it, you know, because it would just be like, you know, for a total stunt. But nevertheless, I liked what they had to say about it.
Cool.
All
right. Well, we do have another guest up next.
Yes.
So Ring has a new front door camera. CNET's Megan Woolerton got to check it out. And after we check it out, we're going to talk to Ring CEO. So check this out.
This is the DoorView Cam. It is Ring's new $199 smart doorbell. Ring already has a lot of smart doorbells, but you might notice something a little different about this one. It's mounted to the center of the door. So unlike their other products, which are designed to replace traditional existing hardwired doorbells on the side of your door, on your door frame, or next to your door, this one is designed to replace your peephole. So it doesn't completely replace your peephole. There's still a spot here where you can look through the back of your door and see who's there physically while you're standing there. But it also has a built-in camera just like its other models. So someone comes up, they press the button. It's also motion activated. So if someone isn't actually pressing the button, but motion is detected, then you actually get a push alert on your phone that says someone's at the front door. Then you can pull it up, and just like Ring's other buzzers, you can talk to the person, tell them to go away, tell them to leave the package under your front doormat, anything like that, just like the other models. But the idea with this is that it's a less invasive installation. So it's designed more for apartment dwellers or anyone who doesn't want to deal with electrical wiring or messing up their door frame. So again, this is Ring's new DoorView Cam. It's $199, and it will be available later this year.
Joining us now is Ring CEO and founder Jamie Siminoff. He's here to talk about the future of Ring and show off the new peephole replacement camera. Welcome. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's check this out.
So here she is. I think one of the fun things about this is that we didn't go all technology. So it is replacing your peephole. You now will be able to see and talk to anyone who's at your front door from anywhere. But we actually kept the peephole in there. So you can still look through. If you go to the door, you can actually still look through the peephole. So you can actually still kind of go down and do the look through the peephole, which, again, versus putting a screen on it, which I think, you know, here is like one of those things like just slap a screen on anything. But you know, using the actual people, I think, is still easier. So you have the functionality of the tech side, but also marrying it with the sort of the old side that worked.
Now, can you turn to the side a little bit? I do have a question. I am in an apartment where I do not own anything, and I do not want to destroy my, you know, landlord's door. So do I have to drill a little bit of a bigger hole for the peephole? How would I install this?
You don't. We built it to the smallest sort of dimension of what a normal peephole or door viewer would be. So it'll fit any of those. And then also it kind of sandwiches on the door. So you're not putting any screws in the door. You're not drilling. So it is absolutely 100% made for rental units where you're going to then put the old thing back when you leave and you're good to go.
And how does that... How is it powered? Is it just a battery? Do you have to plug it in?
So it is. So on this is the inside side, and there's a removable battery pack. It's our rechargeable battery pack. You just take it out, put it back in. Lasts 4 to 6 months. And so really, really easy battery packs inside, so it's kind of easy to charge and deal with.
If it's not charged, I can still see through it, though.
And if it's not charged, you can still see through it, which, again, is a great thing for tech because sometimes, you know, like you forgot to charge it, regardless of how long. It could last 5 years on the battery, but we'll forget at some point, and so it still works.
So one of the things I'm interested about in this is that Ring is generally known for video doorbells that are like external facing, that they're looking outside. So were customers asking for this kind of product? Were people interested in doing something like this for their apartments?
Yeah, so my email's on every box. And I got a lot of feedback from people saying I moved from a house to an apartment, and I still want that sense of security, that peace of mind. Like once you start to be able to see and talk to who's at your front door, and you're getting motion alerts when someone's at your front door, and you get used to that, you don't want it to go away regardless of where you are. And I think this is something we didn't realize early on, is even apartment buildings that have a security door, and then your door is sort of the second security door. That one is not really that secure. Like if you're walking into the apartment building and a stranger comes in, what do? Hold the door open for them. Because you don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
And so those security doors, there's strangers and random people in those buildings. And I think that's something we kind of missed early on, that people that live in these environments, that door to their apartment is still the sort of the secure door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the easiest way to get into my apartment is just ring the doorbell and just say, Amazon.
Oh, really?
Doesn't matter who you are. You say Amazon, they'll buzz you in.
All right, I'm coming to visit.
Great.
So you had some other announcements at the show, too. I think some lighting-related motion sensors. Why don't we run through that, too?
Yeah, so smart lighting. So we've learned that, you know, lights turning on and off can give presence, which our mission is to reduce crime in neighborhoods. And so we came up with a whole eight different products in the smart lighting outdoor category. So now people can build a smart outdoor lighting environment, which just didn't exist before. There's a lot of indoor smart lighting, but no one had built it for outdoor. And then we added some stuff to our Ring alarm, like a smoke CO detector, flood freeze sensor for your pipes, and a panic button.
And how much is that? Just going back to the doorbell, I'm really interested in how much is this thing?
$199.
Oh, okay.
And when's it available?
It'll be available a little bit later this year.
So going back, talking about your mission related to making neighborhoods safer, what's it been like doing that with Amazon? You guys were acquired last year, what was it, in April?
Yep.
Talk a bit about that partnership, what it's been like to really operate within one of the biggest tech organizations there is in the world, and how maybe that's helped your mission.
Yeah, so we're really fortunate. Amazon is they are a missionary company. They allow for a lot of autonomy. They're a company that's actually rooted in invention from sort of Jeff down, and they've really supported our mission. And that was one of the key things when we were looking at where do we go public or what do? And when Amazon came, is they really believed in the mission. They believed in what we were doing in safer neighborhoods, and they have helped invest in that. They've helped, you know, there with the foundation of Amazon, like the different pieces there, and they've really enhanced our business. And, you know, we call our customers neighbors. They've really allowed us to deliver a better experience to our neighbors.
I'm sure they have an interest in making sure the packages that they deliver are, you know, have some sort of security for anyone who's having issues with their packages, right?
Sure. I mean, that's like but you'd actually be surprised at how at Amazon, and this is really from like Jeff and the sort of the key team there, how long they think out, and that they really did believe that a safer neighborhood is a good thing, like and a big business just overall. And so they really did buy into sort of the bigger thing, not the tactical sort of pieces.
Gotcha.
For 2019, what else should we expect from you guys? Well, give us the whole roadmap now that we've got you on stage.
Because that's what we usually do. But, yeah, I mean, we did launch 13 different products this week. So we're just going to maybe breathe for, like, the next week or two, and then we'll launch, you know, a lot of other stuff. But, I mean, what you'll see from Ring, you're going to see us stay very focused on the neighborhood security, invention around neighborhood security. We'll be partnering in areas like door locks, where we think that people are doing a great job already. We'll be building new things like smart outdoor lighting where it doesn't exist and where we think it can affect the mission. But we'll stay in that sort of security guideposts. And I think you'll see, I mean, you'll see lots of great stuff from us this year, but it will stay in that sort of area.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Thank you, JB. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming by and showing it off.